Okay, we're back. How are you doing, Joe?
Well, as I mentioned, Tim, I'm going to do my very best to not use the word bizarre too often during our discussion this evening.
You can say ludicrous.
What a world!
Insane.
I mean, so many strange things. It's sort of moving along as we had predicted in the last, you know, like 2 or 3 months ago. But there's always another twist that will just shock even a kind of a wizened cynic like myself. Today I received notification from the city that if I was going to play on the city courts, tennis and outdoor courts, I was going to have to wear a mask over my face. So
you're outside and you're exerting yourself. That's not good advice.
Yeah. So, you know, I won't comply, of course.
But are there people actually complying with that? I mean, you go by the tennis court, you'll see people with masks on.
It's been bizarre. Okay, where I play at a place called Muni, and it has like 10 public tennis courts, and it has maybe 12 or 14 what's called pickleball courts. And the pickleball courts are played on half of a tennis court, and they're typically played in doubles, right? Uh-huh. So inside one tennis court, you get two pickleball courts, and you can have eight people playing. Imagine, they're not groping one another, but they're in this area. But they have had to, because of the proximity to one another, they've had to wear masks for the last month, and it's just a spectacular sight to see them playing.
Well, I don't quite understand. I imagine the people playing this game, they know each other, they're friends or acquaintances, right? So I imagine they're getting together talking without masks on. At some point. So what do the public health authorities think they're preventing by making people wear ineffective masks? The only thing they're effective in is inhibiting breathing, which probably isn't a good thing when you're engaged in a sort of a cardiovascular, focused exercise, like tennis, where you're running. You have to be able to breathe properly, inhale and exhale.
Of course. Makes absolutely no sense at all, except for the idea of slave training.
Why do people comply with something so stupid then?
It's because they want to get out and exercise. They've closed all of the health clubs. And what the two things that have really taken off here in Santa Barbara are bicycle riding and tennis playing.
Yes.
There are lots of public courts so people can get out there. And this had been, unobstructed since the lockdown. So these courts used to be vacant, but now there's just waiting lines, for a long time. But I think that'll slow down now with the mask wearing, because I have a feeling that, serious players just won't be able to play with masks on. Their breathing would, go bad and they would faint.
Now, of course, these are courts that everyone pays for, right? They're municipal?
Yeah.
If they were private, they probably would impose those restrictions too. But again, just goes to show a stupid. Well, we've seen so many of them. Things that don't make any sense. You have to put a mask on when you enter a restaurant. You can take it off to eat. But you have to put it back on again to leave your table.
Yeah.
You have the dog with the dog cones in Maine.
Yeah. It is. It's the clown world. Descending into. Just almost unrecognizable, sort of behaviors and social forms. Very, very dangerous. I don't know if you saw the Goldman Sachs estimate that 90% of small businesses, medium-sized businesses, were going to go under before this was over. And you can see, I think, pretty clearly that what there are several purposes for the fake pandemic, but one of them is to take away the right of owning a business. I mean, this was something that they, you know, have been evidently planning for some time. And so now the services will be that the businesses that the citizens used to be able to own will be fulfilled by the Brave New World companies, by Amazon, Google. You know, these companies will provide, you know, whatever food or clothing, something like that, that you need.
Yeah, it's not a tragedy. This is mission accomplished. There's an article, a good article about the lockdowns and the effect, how based on the official numbers, how it, you know, the effect it has emotionally on people, increased suicide rates, drug addiction, alcoholism. It's going to lead to far more, not to mention poverty, lead to far more deaths than anything that a flu, real or imagined, could inflict. And the article finishes by saying, you know, this is typical unintended consequences. Well, he's giving these people too much benefit of the doubt. This was an intended consequence. They're not that stupid. I said that, you know, early into this thing, it's obvious what's going to happen if you do this.
Well, look, I think the people who saw malevolence at the beginning made predictions. I know you and I did for the first month, if you recall, back in March. And everything that we saw has come to pass. The lockdowns don't end. The businesses are all going to be destroyed. Eventually, you're going to get to where food is going to be an issue. The power of the state is just gigantically increasing. And there's slave trading. A large fraction of the population is becoming used to being, you know, in a new debased level of social interaction, where they can't talk to anyone they want. They have to, you know, I mean, think of how people are being trained and what they're being trained into in terms of social structure. You know, they're silent, they're mask wearing, and they can't even be close to human beings. So, I mean, this is just about as obvious a condition of a slave as is imaginable.
Yeah, I saw there's an article someone sent me, some college study advise that couples engaging in sexual intercourse should wear masks and not kiss. And so thinking, wait a second, if the disease requires the exchange of saliva, and you can actually do that and not risk transmission, why do you wear masks when you're in public casually? Now, of course, it's just, a lot of this is just nonsense. I sent you that article today, or that news, that where the Republican leaders in Maine were seeking to get a special legislative session to strip the governor, their governor Janet Mills, of emergency powers that have been granted to her to deal with the virus, supposedly. Of course, the Republicans are a minority, and they have to work with the Democrat majority to do that, so that's not going to happen. But the interesting part of the story was the reason given by the Senate president, Tory Jackson, for not ending the governor's emergency powers. At least one of the reasons, and this stuck out, is it would jeopardize our ability to use federal COVID-19 funding. So it's basically, to hell with the businesses. we need the money. We'll put you on welfare, you know. And of course, those federal dollars pouring into these lockdown states are created out of thin air, and they're borrowed at interest. So, you know.
Yeah, circular reasoning. I have the same thing here. We have a superintendent. He answers my emails. We have an exchange. Mm-hmm. And his position is, well, I'd really like to stand up to Newsom, but we have to keep the federal dollars coming in because we're all going broke. And I go, well, look, Doss, you know, we wouldn't be going broke if we didn't have the lockdown. We just get rid of the lockdown and look, all these problems will get solved. But the federal money coming in, which the governors have control over, is really the hammer. This doesn't get a lot of publicity, but this is, and at least I can certainly see it in our instance, and from what I can gather, it's the same everywhere, is that the federal money comes through the governor, these little tin pot dictators, and then they can like squash any, you know, rebellious city.
Yeah, it's like a privy purse for the governor.
Yeah. Exactly.
So naturally, to get the money, you need an emergency. So therefore, what do you have? You have an emergency.
Yeah,
right. I mean, Gee, if you subsidize it, you get it. You know, the old rule. And I mean,
Well,
right now we have Congress, is debating another $1 trillion COVID relief bill. You know, of course, the money is going to be borrowed and added to the national debt, which is approaching $30 trillion. But how about this for an idea? Crazy idea, Joe. Rather than running up more debt, why don't we just declare the pandemic over, open the economy up, and while we're at it, instead of a bailout package, impose a windfall tax on the billionaires and corporations who got rich perpetrating the hoax, and compensate those who lost their jobs and businesses. So the tab would be about $1 trillion. So that's how much money they've made, I think, since March.
You know, Tim, that's such a good idea. I'm going to suggest that you run for political office, and I'm going to ballot stuff millions of votes so that I can guarantee you'll be elected. Because you know what I found out? Another thing that we found out of last month is that election fraud is not a crime that can be prosecuted because no one has standing to do so.
Yes.
I don't know if you followed any of the.
No one ever has standing, you're right.
I mean, it is evidently impossible to have the standing in a legal system in the United States to have an issue that enables you to present evidence in a court about election fraud. I mean, the Republicans have been turned down, gosh, I don't know, 20, 30 times. I mean, I lost track. But as far as I know, they have never been able to actually present any evidence because they never have standing.
Yeah, well, so, they have the evidence. They just can't get it into the courtroom.
Yeah, so they don't have standing, so they can't present the evidence. It's just, again, this is like the clown world, you know. So strange. There's, I don't know if you ever, like, read the Epic Times.
Yeah, I get some of their stuff. It's
quite the internet rag. I mean, I like it. It's you know, people criticize its background, but it basically, as very far as I can tell, is really straightforward and good stuff.
Well, it's much better than the New York Times or Washington Post.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't even bother.
That's just a joke.
It's held up pretty well. I like it.
Yeah.
And it, one of the things it's doing is just releasing videotapes of people who saw fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, if you go out, you see like maybe 20 or something of these like little YouTube sort of testimonies of people who just saw outright fraud and illegal activities, which constitutes fraud because, you know, they're supposed to be following rules. And it just over and over again. And yet you can't get this or anything else in front of a judge in a way that you can get into this information out to the public. So the public is being given this position that there isn't any evidence.
Yeah. Yet most of the public thinks this election was stolen.
Yeah. They haven't seen the evidence, you know,
yeah.
they're not able to see the evidence, but there's just, but you're right. There's a vast, numbers are, but most Americans believe that there was fraud, but they haven't, you know, okay, here's my point is that people are wanting Trump to, use the Insurrection Act,
mm-hmm.
or some very draconian legal procedure based on the existence of fraud. The rationale that the kind of the QAnon theorists are giving is that Trump is waiting to do this because he wants to exhaust every possible legal venue, and he's hoping to show the American public in some legal venue the scope of the evidence so that when he does pull the trigger and then goes and arrests all the bad people and that the public will be prepared. But this just doesn't seem rational to me. I mean, if he was going to do that, Since no one has standing and the amount of evidence that's being given to the public isn't larger now than it was a month ago, I think people are losing interest in this and are just sort of accepting Biden as president, just as a fait accompli. And so it's leading to a very strange 3 weeks going forward. Now you mentioned before we went on started talking in the air that. There's been a lot of Republicans recently who are now, going to try to do the the process that we talked about earlier, you know, a couple of shows ago, that that Trump should just go to the state electors and try to get a different outcome in from that perspective. What actually is happening in that area right now?
Well, in December 14th was the Electoral College, and usually it's a pretty formulaic, you know, not much drama. It's when the electors that were elected, the delegates were elected in the election, they go to their respective state legislatures and cast their votes. And then the supposedly it's sealed. It's supposed to be secret, but it was not really anymore. But technically it's sealed, and then it goes to the House of Representatives. I'm sorry, it goes to Congress on January 6th, and their votes are read out, and then they're approved by Congress. Now, technically, they can be objected to if there's some problems. This has happened. In 2005, there were in January 2005, there was a Congress. I think Cynthia McKinney objected because of the questions regarding the presidential election, particularly in Ohio. But she had no Senate and the Senate to back her up, so it died. And it was and also in 2001, same thing. There were some objections, but no one in the Senate. And so it requires the upper house, someone from the upper house, and the lower house to object. And well, this time you've had seven states, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, and New Mexico now have named alternative or electors for Donald Trump. Those are all states that Biden supposedly won, right? In the now these states have seven. Now technically, Congress can accept one. They can accept the Trump electors or the Biden electors. With the House of Representatives being Democrat and the House Senate being Republican, it has a potential of creating quite a drama on January 6th, because I think as many as a dozen congressmen saying they're going to object to it. Mo Brooks being one of them, openly calling out the fraud. And we have a few senators. Tuberville, Rand Paul has signaled he might join in, and a couple others. And so that's significant. So there's a chance that something might happen. Now, my feeling is maybe I'm just too jaded, but I think if you're depending on Republicans to win this thing, you're not going to win it, because they if there are some desire within the Republican Party to win this thing, and they could have won it because pretty much they held all the cards. But nevertheless, you might have this sort of rebellion, and this is where the ensuing weeks, there may be some truth to the fact that continuing litigation and agitation and putting pressure on the state legislatures in these states might be bearing some fruit. Now, a reversal, if you will, or turning it over to Trump as the rightful winner. I don't know how it's going to play out or what's really going on behind the scenes. You know, we heard that story about John Roberts, right? Yelling at the it leaked out. Someone leaked and said that he was yelling, using the F word. You know, not saying I don't care about Bush v. Gore. We're going to have riots. So apparently, according to the leaker, and this is what many people suspected anyway. The concern of the Supreme Court wasn't the law, wasn't the Elector's Clause or the Guarantee Clause or the laws of the state of Pennsylvania or the laws of the country. It was whether or not if they did abide by the Constitution, would it cause riots? So you have cowardice, evidently of cowardice on part of the Supreme Court. It was why they turned down they found that there was no standing, which is contrary to law, because in that case, the Supreme Court had original jurisdiction. Yet they ruled 7-2 that it didn't have standing. So we have a lot going on that isn't necessarily technical or political. There's that going on, not to mention who's going to be bribed or blackmailed. So it's hard to say how it's going to turn out. But what would happen in the House is if they read these out and say there's these objections, or Vice President Pence rejects the Biden electors and goes rogue, as they say, although it's purely constitutional, that would... or he just rejects the electors from the states in general, so nobody has a majority, and that sends the election into the House of Representatives for president and the Senate for vice president, In either case, just based on the numbers, on January 6th, Republicans are going to control 30 House delegations. And that, of course, they'll have the majority of the Senate, with Pence being the tiebreaker. So Trump would win under those circumstances. So you do have a potential for Trump winning. Given,
well, Tim, I mean, given the potential, you had said, well, the Republicans had all the cards, and you know there was some way they could play them. Tim, the Republicans have all the cards. I mean,
yes.
they can elect Trump as president for the next term.
If they don't do it,
and the Constitution is not vague. Plenary power is given in these circumstances to create the electors to the state legislatures.
Yeah,
they're the ones who have it.
And what they're thinking is also if they do prevail in court, because there are, you know, Sidney Powell's lawsuits where they're suing in the state, so the Supreme Court wouldn't have the standing excuse. If you go up through the courts, then you do have standing. And so as these courts, these court cases work their way through, it's going to build momentum to reverse this thing.
That's with the idea that there has to be a public opinion sort of honored in this turning of the normal process of the Electoral College back to the state legislatures. But this isn't the legal process. This is just public opinion that they're worried about. They have all the cards. And moreover, in this particular proceeding, the vice president is the supreme authority of the House procedures. So, like you said, if Pence says, yeah, thanks a lot for bringing these electors, but you know what? In my opinion, they're representing fraudulent votes.
Yeah.
I want to have another the state legislatures bring out their understanding of who should be president. There isn't anything in the Constitution to stop him, and they can simply come forward and say, okay, we represent these five states or six states, and you know we're the Republicans. We have the majority. We want to have we cast our Electoral College votes for Trump. And it's so amazing in that they could actually simply elect Trump without even going back to the House at that point. Now, what will probably happen if the Republicans are going to try this is they will simply void the Electoral College numbers from the fraudulent states. They'll say, no, we just don't like it. Now this will go to the House where, like you say, each state could cast a single vote. The Republicans have 30 state legislatures. They could win 30 to 20. A compromise idea that I've heard floated is that Trump could then say, okay, well, we're going to just redo the election in these seven states where we felt there was fraud. And we're going to this time have the military be the agency that handles all of the procedures, and everything's going to be videotaped, and we're just going to actually get right down to exactly who cast how many votes up. That would take care of the public opinion side of it. So the Republicans, if they want to, are completely able to make Trump have another term. And I would argue that, what do you have to lose? If you let Biden be president, if you let this configuration exist, you'll simply have four more perpetual Democratic senators created. Biden was certainly going to pack the court, so the Supreme Court will be gone. You'll never have another election that has any meaning whatsoever in terms of democracy, because you're going to have the dark winter become the dark decade. Particularly in terms of freedom and because you'll have a single party. I mean, basically, it will be like California, except for the whole nation. You would have one party that would be a perpetual majority party, and there would be no possible way to maneuver around it. Because remember, if they get away with this, if this much fraud is not sufficient to cause them to be caught and punished for it, that going forward, they can give the election numbers before the election even occurs.
Yeah.
They just have automatic computer systems. So this is it. If the Republicans want to stay in existence as a party, they should just say, who cares about public opinion? We care about freedom. We care about existence. And so they should accept if they're, you know, the Antifa riots, that they're meaningless in terms of this dark decade that, you know, would come immediately upon America if they let the Democrats get away with this.
Yeah. And there's also this idea of the Insurrection Act in the course of this executive order that Trump signed in 2018, in September in 2018, applying to foreign, you know, involvement in elections and all the powers that he's supposedly given to root out the corruption if there is a finding. And of course, there's evidence that, and you have this curious delay in that the DNI report that Ratcliffe was supposed to produce today. Apparently, the intelligence agencies are dragging their feet on it. And the thinking was this would provide the information to trigger that executive order so Trump could take executive action, which some are calling sort of a limited martial law. You have organizations calling for this, because you do have what you apparently do have is sort of a widespread, multi-level, transnational electoral fraud, racket going on. And with foreign involvement election, of course, that always happens in every election. I mean, no one ever talks about Israel. I'm like, geez, you know. Just the idea that the Supreme Court was supposedly worried about riots is that the problem with dealing with the Democrats is they have a on the ground operation, which is sort of Bolshevista terrorist operation with BLM and Antifa. And you have these billionaires, which have to be dealt with at some point. I'm talking about Facebook. I'm talking about the guy who runs Twitter. What's his name?
I forget.
Jack Dorsey, weird guy with the beard, you know. And of course, what was exposed with Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg, his project where he was privatizing elections with $500 million, it was supposed to be money given to assist states in conducting their elections dealing with the coronavirus, but it apparently it was money poured into Democratic strong areas. It was like 10-1, and it was a get out the vote drive. And he spent more than the government spends on elections, like $500 million, weighting it towards the Democrats, and not to mention characters like Soros and the Open Society Foundation, and various corporations and foundations funding terrorist groups like Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And it's really murky because you have a situation in the federal government, even the Trump government, the Trump Department of Homeland Security, while all that rioting was going on, they're calling out white supremacists as chief terrorists throughout the country when Black Lives Matter and Antifa are rioting and causing trouble. And so it's not it's not as if it's the lines are very blurred now, because obviously Trump doesn't have control of the FBI or the Justice Department. He recently fired the Attorney General. He resigned officially. But if we're headed into this dark winter and there is the Biden presidency was the first step towards some sort of color revolution, regime change where the remnants of the old constitutional order are wiped away, I could see a justification for extreme executive action to root out, all the corruption and clean the Augean stables. I don't know if Trump has the awareness or the troops to do that, or the organization to do that. That's just a Q fantasy, but I can see, there have been historical figures that have done it in the past, something like a Francisco Franco, but he had the army, had to deal with the communists. They were taking over his country in the name of the Republic. And we're kind of faced with a similar situation now where you have, a takeover of the Republic in the name of the Republic, but obviously the elements that are taking over have no regard for elections or the rule of law, because they're simply willing to break all the rules to achieve power. And what do you do when you're faced with an adversary like that? Do you play by Marcus or Queensberry rules and lose, or do you do what you have to do to win and then clean up the mess afterwards? It's a situation they've created by not you know, acting in good faith and abiding by the rules.
Right. Well, I am very worried, of course, that what we're experiencing is a theatrical production. Mm-hmm. And Trump is not feckless, but in fact, a lifetime actor. And this is going to end badly for the Europeans here in the United States, because what they're doing is they're going to, they're creating some kind of scenario in which we're going to be asked to kill ourselves. The vaccine, of course, is one obvious way of achieving that. Hunger, of course, is looming out there somewhere. We can't expect the food production to, you know, fulfill the needs of over 300 million people when the whole economy is being ground to a stop. And then beyond that, there is the race war, which I think is going to be ignited. That was why I had predicted that Trump, you know, might at the very last second go into this martial law scenario, not mm-hmm. so much the idea of saving the republic, but with triggering the everything. In other words, you'd have martial law, you'd have the race war, and of course, then you'd have a complete breakdown in food supplies into the cities where the violence was taking place. And meanwhile, Operation Warp Speed would be trying to vaccinate everyone with, you know, with the beast vaccine to change their RNA. So that's kind of the dark winter that I see. We have to find a way around. I think that the one shining light is that if Trump does not, for some reason, pull the trigger, which would just make no sense at all, you know, in my opinion, for the reasons I just gave, in that what do we have to lose at this point? If your position is that you're Republican, you're hoping to have a continuation of, you know, democratic principles and a Christian culture, at least, you know, not end up where you'd have education, re-education camps for white people, you know, this kind of thing. you may as well take a stand here, because you can't trust, you know, obviously you cannot trust the Democratic Party to not be under the spell of really dark evil at this point. I mean, all of the election fraud is just a clear indication of how little moral principle they have. And of course, remember that, you know, this is on top of the fake pandemic and now the fake vaccination program. Mm. So where you're no matter how you slice it, you're dealing with really organized evil, and you know, this will manifest itself, unfortunately, over the next 60 days. What we need to do is to try to think about how we can, you know, survive and organize ourselves to resist all of this. You know, I was looking at videos of the Cal Anderson Park, the autonomous zone in Seattle, has been recreated. I don't know if you've been following this, but they have another autonomous zone in Portland. these are really just, they look like trash dumps. You know, the videos I saw, there was just waste everywhere. And yet there were people in there that looked to me like they were pretty well organized. So these could be, God only knows, you know, ammo dumps for, you know, like the wars that are about to come. But in any case, I just think that for the everyday citizen, you need to focus on your own safety, you know, as much as you do on the big picture. The dialectics they give us tend not to, you know, like the Civil War, and these things, they don't really, they're there to distract us. Our real political power comes from ourselves. The Republican Party, I think, contains most of the same people that are left, many of them are being distracted by the Q thing. The one silver lining is that if Trump doesn't pull the trigger and you transition to a Biden presidency, the people who have been really putting their energies into the Q theories will have nowhere to go but to, I would hope, a more clear-minded perspective. And I also think that for a number of reasons, like Christian organizations will start to realize that, you know, we are really on the chopping block here. And hopefully there will be a coalescence of a, you know, more organized European attempt for self-defense, you know.
Yeah, recently Cardinal Burke, Catholic cardinal, called out the fake pandemic and the electoral fraud. And so if you, again, if you had a stronger opposition from the church to all this nonsense, it never would have gotten this far. Unfortunately, they didn't acquit themselves well in the face of this, you know, of this threat. In fact, you know, many ways they went along with it and they've been encouraging it. So it's, it is a tough, I mean, they put us in quite a bind, and that's, I think it's been intentional, and that's why this whole scenario is war game. I don't think we can say it's a coincidence that the Transition Integrity Project predicted this entire thing. Of course, you know, yeah, they made it inevitable when they, when the Republicans, you know, allowed this explosion in mail-in balloting while relaxing all the rules that are used for mail-in balloting, signature requirements, postage requirements, post-date requirements, these things, was an open invitation to the fraud. And no one can act surprised that it occurred. The Supreme Court, like, they're the ones that it was Amy Coney Barrett who recused herself in the Pennsylvania case. So it was 4-4. That allowed this, you know, that the travesty of the mail-in balloting in that state, when they don't even have to have a post date on it, much less a signature requirement, which is just violation of state law, by the way, and the Constitution, and also the federal Constitution. But this whole thing was certainly foreseeable, and it was. It's not like, I don't think the people had a crystal ball. They were engineering the very situation that we're in today. You know, they engineered it.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
And so that would imply that they are in fact executing a plan. And you know, if you just look at all these elements as a collection, what is the purpose? Well, it's population reduction. It's reduction of the goyim. I mean, this would be the, you know, one term I would use to who's on the chopping block here. So, you know, all of these things will be coming at us at the same time. In fact, it's hard actually, isn't it, to talk about this in like a kind of a clear, systematic way, because all of these things are part of the same thing, and yet they're all kind of disparate. You know, you have the vaccines, you have, which got rolled out this week.
Mm-hmm.
Or last week, actually, and to, you know, there've been quite a few negative reactions to them. There is some resistance to them. Last week, we had mentioned that we really want to get our hands on some actual vials and smuggle them to independent labs for some analysis, because at this point, we don't really have any idea what's inside the thing.
Well, who's that Dr. Gupta on?
Yeah, Gupta Dupa, yeah.
And he said that just because you get the vaccine doesn't mean you can travel freely or not wear a mask.
Right.
And you may not even have immunity. It's like, well, then why take it?
Well, yeah. Why take it?
Why
indeed?
Risk it?
Well, I mean, and the other reasons why you might not take it is because there doesn't seem to be any COVID virus death. Breon's her data, you know, the John Hopkins statistician brought out the, you know, the point that the deaths that are attributed to COVID are equal by a subtraction of normal mortality in things like pneumonia, heart disease, diabetes. And then, of course, we've discussed many times on this show, you know, that was because of the CDC's.
They're combining them now, aren't they? Now, don't they have like a combined thing they call COVID, where takes it. That's why influenza has dropped 98% this season.
Yeah. So, and of course, I mean, it's just, this is just preposterous, but, I mean, but my favorite, like, little piece of sophistry, and it really shows you the complete disregard for the intelligence of the general public to even bring out this kind of a an argument. The John Hopkins retracted Brienne's article because they could see, I guess it somehow slipped out. They didn't control her. She brought out, you know, obviously good data. They retracted the article. If you go, you'll see they retracted it. And the argument is that it gives a dangerous misunderstanding of the situation. And this is the, listen to the argument. They go, well, she didn't recognize and study the idea that COVID weakens people, and so there could be deaths by other means that would have been attributed to COVID. Now, this is fascinating because, you see, it's completely, their argument is just nonsensical in that Brienne shows that there has been a decrease in all of these categories.
Yes.
So if there was, in fact, COVID in operation creating more of these diseases, there would be more of them, you know, not less.
Yeah, and
so they completely just, they're just like a what elephant kind of, you know.
Well they can't explain the, you would still have excess mortality. In order to have a pandemic that you're worried about, you have to have some demonstration of excess mortality. If you're in the 5 to 10 year norm, nothing's really going on that's extraordinary. Then no extraordinary measures or containment measures are required, other than what you usually do. You
know? Yeah, because really we're talking about a social policy.
Yeah,
that's the most important thing. There is no justification for any social policy whatsoever because the mortality statistics are all in the, you know, baseline trajectories that have been established for the last decade.
Mm-hmm. But you know, what happens is that's not talked about on the, you know, the half an hour evening news or repeated on CNN. They still have, they brought back the, you know, the death meter, the count. You hear stories about hospitals being overwhelmed. What are they overwhelmed with? What are they busy? They're busy. Okay, they're busy. What are they busy with? They're just busy, and we just assume it's COVID. And you have all these false claims about rest. You know, same thing you got last, or late last winter and early spring.
Well, what happened last March was, you know, when COVID came on, they had a lot of elderly people they were able to kill by stuffing lung diseases in these retirement homes. So they had a spike. And this was the, you know, the horror story for America to justify the lockdown. But that was at the end of the normal flu season. Because remember, deaths go up between November and, you know, March. Go up because you had all of the Northern Hemisphere viral activity supposedly taking place. It's just because, you know, it's the time of less sunlight. There's all sorts of explanations, but it is the time when you have more mortality. So now, since everything has been defined as COVID, by God, like in California, we have a lot of deaths. I mean, it, as they produce their little statistics on COVID deaths, and it goes, oh my God, it's out of control. We've got to, you know, like all sit under our beds in hazmat suits. But the fact is, this, the mortality rate, when you stand back and look at it from California's you know, baseline over the last decade, it's completely normal. There's nothing unusual. I asked a emergency room nurse that I know at Cottage Hospital here in Santa Barbara. I said, what's it like? Because, you know, they're talking about the horror and this and that. And she's worked there for 20 years. And she goes, it's nothing, you know, just totally routine. So they've been able, through panic propaganda and zombie movies, to make people, you know, nervous and timid and frightened. And so they're buying into this to the extent that they're putting up with all the draconian measures, which are just there to kill them, basically, to destroy their businesses, their ability to make a living, to have any kind of political power. You know, all of these aspects of the lockdown, which are, you know, it's like the workers' paradise argument. This, they're there to help us. No, they're there to murder us, and that's what, you know, what they're doing.
Yeah, and the same with the cities, municipalities, and states are being paid to maintain the emergency, to keep the money flowing, the fiat dollars flowing at interest. So the governors themselves, instead of having to bother taxing the local citizens and rely on the legislature for money. They can have the governors get this big slush fund, a privy purse to play with. A lot of these also states were worse, where the COVID was supposedly worse. Also states with the worst budget deficits, by the way. It's quite a coincidence. But at the same time, you have state hospitals are being paid more to have COVID patients. So obviously you can have more COVID patients, you know?
Yeah. And they've also permitted you to just have symptoms like either fevers or chills.
Yes.
As enough to create a coherent COVID diagnostic,
mm-hmm.
you know? So basically you can have anything you want. I mean, headaches, fevers, chills, it's all COVID at this point. The fraud is really mind control. It's that extreme, you know. It's so fake. But through incrementalism, they've been able to, you know, where we're going to flatten the curve, and it's going to be a couple days. We'll be locked down. Now, you know, it's a way of life, and all the businesses are being told just to go out of business and accept the fact.
Yeah.
It's incredible. There was a YouTube of a guy in a Walmart who had gotten in a megaphone, and he stood up on a platform that I think clothes are being sold, and he just started telling the public the truth about the COVID propaganda. And they shut it down pretty quickly, but this was, I thought, a great act, and this is something that really should be supported. People should go into these public places, get out of your comfort zone, and make public testimony. Get your facts straight. You won't have much time, but get your facts straight. Use a megaphone if you have to. Go into Costco, go into Walmart, go into anywhere where there's public people, you know, groups, and preach the truth, because we are all collectively sort of like the Republican Party is at this point. Tim, what have we got to lose, right? What do we have to lose, really? If this rolls forward, what will this country be like in a year if we are locked down for another year? There won't be any small businesses, right? Your health will be absolutely shattered. Do you think there's really going to be food security? You know, I mean, is it possible there won't be a, yeah. I mean, so we don't really have much to lose at this point. We have to act. Anything that people can come up with coherently to preach the truth, they should be doing. They should be doing right now and henceforth, because we don't have much to lose, Tim. I mean, the trajectory we're on is right off a cliff.
Well, it's funny because I've noticed this time with the governors trying to raise the fear, hysteria, with their reducing, you know, they're introducing more restrictions, which no one seems to be following for the most part. And so the fear isn't there, but people are following. And obviously, the effect on businesses are there, which is the, you know, probably the primary objective, which is the problem. But people aren't fearful of it, really. You're just kind of doing it, going through the ropes. So I don't know how effective psychologically they can keep this up. You know, at some point, people are like, okay, the jig is up. This is ridiculous. The problem is people have no agency to respond. And that's, there's recall efforts and there's impeachment efforts and these things. But just as we saw with the election fraud, is the failure of all these institutions that are supposed to provide checks and balances not doing anything, just kind of, you know, either ignoring it, like the courts, they're in on it.
Fraud. The legal reaction to the fraud shows you how absolutely polluted the courts are by the Judeo-Masonic power structure.
Yeah.
I mean, this to me is just clear, absolutely clear cut. You can't get standing for something as basic as being defrauded out of your capacity to elect a president, right? Mm-hmm. This makes no sense under any circumstances, right? It's just ridiculous. But yet all of the courts have the same position.
Well, it's an evasion. It's a procedural excuse for to evade a big issue, and whether it's fear or corruption or a combination of both, it obviously, you know, if not the Supreme Court, then who?
Right, exactly.
I mean, they're still dealing with the reality of the fraud. But again, people are still kind of hard to accept. I think what it is, people find it hard to accept that something, an operation like this could be pulled off, have it be, you know, a hoax, a fake, you know, when all the numbers seem to indicate it is. I mean, that's apparently, sorry, but apparently, you know, you've been fooled, you've been tricked. And if the, you know, people pulling off the hoax control all the major networks. They control the medical institutions. Institutions we rely on as authority figures, you know, like the CDC or the National Institute of Health or the World Health Organization, various universities and think tanks and foundations, which are endowed by these oligarchs, these billionaires. Then they can pull something like this off, and that's what we. I mean, you'll see the schematic, if you will, or the how this is pulled off logistically by their various deeds and operations, like the Event 201 or the Operation Lockstep paper, or the fact that the media is all coordinated. A good example is just every single governor, every single mayor says the same thing, has the same talking points about this thing. And there's not one major political figure calling it out. I mean, there's some criticism how it's handled, but no one's calling it out, you know.
Yeah, this is the thing that, you know, the European has to understand immediately, is that the modus operandi of the opposing force here has been to slither into the political points of power. That's what they've done. Then they have that from there, they control finance and media. And so you're there with a fake reality in terms of, you know, the what the media is telling you about, you know, 911, the COVID, the vaccines. You know, they are just lying straight forward. So it's very hard to think clearly because of that. Mm-hmm. And then if you try to go into the process that is established to change it, you're just in a cul-de-sac of their world. I mean, the legal system. I think we've seen how fake it is. The legal system, to me, is just as fraudulent as the election we just held. So, you know, you're much better off trying to use what I would call asymmetrical approaches. I mean, forget the government and the media. These things are 100% fake. The stuff that we see, you know, coming our way from those, you know, organizations, it's just not real. It's there to, those are ideas, you know, and systems that are there to enslave us. What we need to do is to go, you know, what can we do to organize ourselves? The hell with the Republicans or the Democrats. The only thing that is useful about the Republicans is that it contains millions and millions of people who should be able to understand that they're about to be genocided.
Yeah,
and the Republican Party is not, you know, an apparatus that is going to help them protect themselves. So what asymmetrical response is, we're going to get a new organization that has as its platform not you know, lowering taxes on small businesses, but has as a platform revealing what is real about the political and economic system to the public. I mean, this is the platform that we have to run on. You know, it isn't, you know, there. It's the only thing that counts at this point. We have to, you know, have a platform that is completely disclosing to the public what is the nature of the world they walk around in.
Yeah, there's that, you know, of course, the conspiracy theory label. There's an interesting... Michigan, Jocelyn Benson, who was the Secretary of State of Michigan, was invited to the state legislature to testify. And she refused, citing she didn't want to entertain conspiracy theories about election fraud. First of all, she should be subpoenaed and put under oath. None of this inviting stuff. They're an oversight committee. Same with the Attorney General, starting to go after legislatures for simply, you know, exercising their right by going into court and challenging election, you know, a bogus or suspicious election results. And she's, you know, she's accusing them of sedition. You know, no, sedition is when you pull off a huge election fraud and you're a part of it. That's what sedition is. It's treason too. And it could be, I mean, treason in the classical sense, I do think ultimately these actors are acting on behalf of foreign or transnational interests. I'm not saying the Chinese, although I think they're a part of it, but the Chinese factor into the sort of the globalist, you know, internationalist, Judeo, you know, power block that, you know, that runs the world, the octopus, or, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like Davos, Chinese that's were, it, you know.
They were taken over 19th century, being yes. The triads, which I think their political power comes from, are just, it's an annex of the Freemasons.
Yeah, and Mao was a Galley, so yeah.
Yeah, they must have gotten Masonic control in there. And that's why when you look at Mao's background as a representative of Yale, you know, I mean, it just seemed pretty straightforward that the Politburo in China was no more really Chinese than the Politburo in Russia was reflective of Russians, you mm-hmm. know.
And that's why if you look at a figure like Mitch McConnell, who sat on the Senate floor, in the Senate, well, the Senate, you know, telling everyone not to behave, come January 6th, apparently people aren't listening to him. They're planning to misbehave, if you will, by challenging the
well, any Republican who is not basically a lifetime actor, someone who is under control of the Judaic Masonic mm-hmm. Banking families, you had better be acting out, you know, with putting your very life on the line. And I mean, seriously, that would be if I was in the Congress, I would just say, no, this isn't going to stand. And we're going to take out anybody that isn't going to play ball with the new structure, because what do you have to lose at this point, Tim? I mean, if you're just going to sit there and go, gee, I don't really agree with telling us that Biden is president, but I'm just going to go along to get along. I mean, that's treason, man.
Yeah, if you think there was election fraud, how do you?
Treason. Yeah. You cannot have the understanding that fraud occurred.
Well, so how do they certify these elections when there's ongoing investigations and hearings? What does certification mean if you certify something so tainted? I mean, it's like, okay, you sort of people are threatened to certify, you know, like happened in Michigan. But like Mitch McConnell, his wife, Elaine Chao, is the Secretary of Transportation. Of course, her father is a shipping magnate who's ties to China. Her sister is on the board of the Chinese National Bank. So you have these connections. I'm not saying that Mitch McConnell is a Chinese spy. It's not that stark, but he represents the interests, the transnational financial interests, you know, that are pretty much running a global carpetbagging operation right now. So he's going to obstruct anything that approaches, you know. Anything trying to rectify the situation, he'll use his political wiles and legislative skills and experience to do it. Just like the same way, you know, the funny thing is that all through four last 3.5 years, he never recessed the Senate, so Trump couldn't do recess appointments. So all his appointments had to go through the Senate. And that some would say that modified his picks a little bit. Well, in the past, if the Senate, you know, if they want to get someone passed, and Obama did this, they just recessed it, and you could do a recess appointment and get your man in that slot. That's one of the things that Mitch McConnell did. That's why Barr was Attorney General, you know.
Right.
And Barr is as a deep state actor. He was there to sort of make sure that Trump didn't go off the reservation too much. And that's how power operates. It's not. I don't think it's a question of. Everyone being overtly controlled, but they know where their limits are, and that's how it works. They know what they can say, what they can get away with, and personnel's policy, you know.
Yeah, I mean, McConnell is just an absolute disgrace, and any Republican senator that permits him to lead them is guilty of treason, in my opinion. The fraud of the election is too vivid for there be it to be an excuse for anyone in Congress to accept the certification of this election and the results that, that have come forward, you know, from the fraud. I mean, it's just so basically you have a situation where the Republicans who are not controlled should be trying to organize themselves. I don't know if this is possible, if there's someone, I mean, I don't know how many of them are, in fact, free-minded. I just don't know. I believe that some of them are. And those who, you know, if there are strands of analysis like the one I'm giving now that are circulating and reach these people, they should recognize immediately that the thing they have to do is to organize basically a group that would be outside of the normal power structure of in Congress, because clearly that group is compromised now.
Yeah, they're right? Already calling these congressmen are calling it McConnell the surrender caucus.
Yeah. Well, that's right, and so they have to you know stand up for the Constitution, for their oaths, and you know the path is very, very straightforward at this point. If the Republicans wish to, they have the control. They should just make Trump the president and just tell the Democrats and the media to go pound sand.
Yeah,
we could care less, you know. And in fact, I would say this would be a great time, you know, if I was president, Tim. Or if you, I mean, what Trump should do is that he should go, you know, I'm president. I want to thank everyone for, you know, the votes. I don't like the media, you know, CBS, NBC, all of these, Facebook. And so I'm going to eminent domain all of these media organizations out of existence. And just stop them, because they are nothing but propaganda tools of the oligarchs.
Well, they're owned by corporations,
of course,
who have ties to the. You could probably tie them back to the carrying out the election fraud. Part of the fraud was how they covered it.
Yeah, and so if Trump really wants to, you know, clean house, that would be the first thing he'd do. But again, it's like that. You know, this is why it's never going to happen, because. The media is such an effective propaganda device. I mean, the next 60 days will be unlike any in the history of this, of our nation, Tim. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of, however they have it in mind to play out, it isn't going to be good for us. The only thing we can hope for is that there are legitimate independent actors in Congress, and they are willing to be really bold. And even if they go down fighting, they can get the information out. Because remember, really what we want is an information revolution where all of the people who should understand better, right, have the brains to see what's going on in the country and who's running it, that they become aware that, you know, that COVID, that 9/11, that the fraudulent election, that all of these things are just being done to control their minds. I mean, we could have a mass, you know, consciousness raising event over the next 60 days. It's possible. So that's what I would hope, is that even if they end up arrested or killed, that's, I mean, sad to say, but that's just the price they should pay. And if there are independent actors inside Congress, either Democrat or Republican, they should be able to understand what's going on at this point. Even if they don't know all of the ins and outs of the Judeo-Masonic plot, they should be able to see that there is a giant rat in the room controlling everything, and they should stand up for freedom and their constitutional oaths and say, nope, we're not going to go forward with this. And if they are overwhelmed by, you know, by votes or by other forces, then they should just become a rump party. They should leave the Republicans and Democrats, try to do their best to have a press conference. So that becomes a way to start getting the information out to the public.
Mm-hmm. There was people are, again, doing back to the pandemic thing. How could they pull something like this off? And it does seem, you know, it doesn't seem feasible, but we assume, because we assume these institutions and these checks and balances work, and but we can't seem to accept that it's so tightly controlled. But there was an article published 10 years ago by Michael Fumento for I think it was in Forbes magazine, "Why the Who Faked a Pandemic." He is in Forbes magazine, and see, I'll read this to see if it sounds, if it reminds you of anything more recent. The World Health Organization has suddenly gone from crying "the sky is falling" like a cackling Chicken Little to squealing like a stuck pig. The reason: charges that the agency deliberately fomented swine flu hysteria. The world is going through a real pandemic. The description of it as a fake is wrong and irresponsible, the agency claims on its website. A WHO spokesman declined to specify who or what gave this description, but the primary accuser is hard to ignore. The Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, PACE, a human rights watchdog, is publicly investigating WHO's motives in declaring a pandemic. Indeed, the chairman of its influential health committee, epidemiologist Wolfgang Wodarg, has declared that the false pandemic is one of the greatest medicine scandals of the century. Even within the agency, the director of the WHO Collaborating Center for Epidemiology in Münster, Germany, Dr. Ulrich Keil, has essentially labeled the pandemic a hoax. "We are witnessing a gigantic misallocation of resources, $18 billion so far, in terms of public health," he said. They're right. This wasn't merely an overcautiousness or a simple misjudgment. The pandemic declaration and all the klaxon ringing since reflect sheer dishonesty motivated not by medical concerns, but political ones. Let me skip here. Indeed, judging by what we've seen in New Zealand and Australia, where the epidemics have ended, and by what we're seeing elsewhere in the world, we have considerably fewer flu deaths this season than normal. That's because swine flu, muscles aside, seasonal flu acting as sort of inoculation against a far deadlier strain. Did the WHO have any indicators of this mildness when it declared the pandemic in June? Mind you, this is back in 2009. Absolutely. As I wrote at the time, we were then fully 11 weeks into the outbreak, and the swine flu had killed 144 people worldwide, the same number who die of seasonal flu worldwide every few hours, estimated 250,000 to 500,000 per year by the WHO's own numbers. The mildest pandemics of the 20th century killed at least 1 million people. But how could.
Jim, that is a fantastic article. Where can people get that
Oh,
article?
it's Vanessa Bailey reposted it. If you can just Google
I'm
it,
sorry?
if you just do a search, Vanessa Bailey and Forbes magazine fake pandemic, it'll come up.
How do you spell the last name of that individual?
The Vanessa Bailey
Yeah.
reposted it. That's Beely. She
You
posted
know, I'm sorry. Yeah, I really need that because I was looking for that very article. I'm sorry to
it.
interrupt, but I just that's a great article. Thank you.
So indeed, judging by what we've seen in New Zealand, where are we? Says, yeah, absolutely. As I write at the time, we were then fully 11 weeks into the outbreak, and the swine flu had only killed 144 people worldwide, the same number who die of the seasonal flu worldwide every few hours. See, but how could the organization declare a pandemic when its own official definition required simultaneous epidemics worldwide with enormous numbers of deaths and illness? Severity, that is, the number of deaths is crucial because every year flu causes a global spread of disease. Easy. In May, and what it admitted was a direct response to the outbreak of the swine flu the month before, WHO promulgated a new definition matched to swine flu that simply eliminated the severity as a factor. You could now have a pandemic with zero deaths. And that, I think, the situation still exists today. In part, it was CYA at for the H for the WHO. The agency was losing credibility over the refusal of avian flu H5N1 to go pandemic and kill as many as 150 million people worldwide, as its flu czar had predicted in 2005. Around the world, the nations heeded the warnings and spent vast sums developing vaccines and making other preparations. So when swine flu conveniently trotted in, the WHO essentially crossed out avian and inserted swine. And the WHO Director General Margaret Chan arrogantly boasted the world can now reap the benefits of investments over the last 5 years in pandemic preparedness. But there's more than bureaucratic or self-interested at work here. Bizarrely enough, The WHO was also exploited, or has also exploited its phony pandemic to push a hard left political agenda. In a September speech, WHO Director General Chan said ministers of health should take advantage of the devastating impact swine flu will have on the poor nations to get out the message that changes in the functioning of the global economy are needed. Oh, a reset. To distribute wealth on the basis of values like community, solidarity, equity, and social justice. She further declared it should be used as a weapon against international policies and systems that govern financial markets, economies, commerce, trade, and foreign affairs. Chan's dream now lies in tatters. All the WHO has done, says Pace's Ward Art, is to destroy much of the credibility that they should have, which is invaluable to use if there's a future scare that might turn out to be a killer on a larger scale. That was, again, written in 2010, Michael Fumento.
A great article. One thing that they didn't mention is that it was very much a parallel to what's going on with COVID, in that in the beginning of June, just as the, you know, the concern was starting to become public, WHO changed the definition of a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And they took out the requirement of, quote, enormous numbers of death and illness.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, they could call it a pandemic and then have the power of the word be something that would create fear, even though this wasn't even something that was any longer, you know, a definition of the term. They actually, it was just like when they changed the definition of what is in back of a morbidity, when they took all the comorbidities and put them on page 2 in the mortician certificate in the United States, so that COVID became the only thing. And it's the same thing that they did in 2009, when they actually just changed the definition of things in just the right way to then be able to use the word and the terms as propaganda.
Yeah, and of course, CBS's Cheryl Atkinson broke the story here in the States about the CDC's role in this. So all the agencies that are pushing the COVID scam were caught lying back in 2009, 2010, about this very thing. All to raise hysteria, to build the excuse for budgets for their respective organizations, and most importantly, to sell billions and billions of dollars of vaccines that were sitting on the shelf. There were sleeper contracts or arrangements, they were called, that if a pandemic was declared, immediately the participating governments would buy all these vaccines from the pharmaceutical companies. It turned out that many people sitting on the advisory board of WHO, same conflict of interest exists at the CDC, were also had a financial arrangements with GlaxoSmithKline and other pharmaceutical companies, which made a mint off the fake pandemic. And of course, that's been magnified several orders of magnitude with the COVID scamdemic, because not only maybe this was on the in the works then, and they discovered they didn't have to control control the media that they do have now, apparently, but it just didn't take off, and now it took off this year for some reason. I think because it coincided with the plans, you know, at the psychopaths at Davos, the World Economic Forum, which the economic situation and the political situation, I think it came to a head, and they needed to do something, and this was an opportunity to declare a pandemic, pop the bubble, orchestrate this huge $1 trillion bailout, destroy small businesses, and collectivize or concentrate the economy and usher in this great reset, which is sort of this transhuman fantasy that they're trying to subject everyone to under the guise of the new normal. And you hear that language of Margaret Chan, we reformed the global economy. And, you know, the economy is so messed up that type of language, vague language, has some traction or some resonance because people know something's wrong. But the devil's in the details. You don't want the very people who created this horrible system to proffer reforms, because it's not going to be to humanity's benefit, since they created the system to begin with that's crushing humanity.
Yeah, it's like taking an election fraud question to the U.S. Supreme Court and then having John Roberts say you don't have standing when there are now pictures circulating of him with Gisela Maxwell.
Yes. Yeah. He's on. There is a John Roberts in the Flight Manifest, apparently. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's
a common name, so I don't know, but
yeah. I mean, who knows?
But, it's like hey, Joe Smith.
With Roberts looks legit to me, and I believe it is correct. And I mean, in any case, just his behavior, the voting pattern, it just shows that he's obviously a very compromised individual. So you can't really go in that direction. You can't expect. I mean, these are the institutions, Tim, we have to overturn before we can get a process that we can count on to produce legitimate legal decisions.
Yeah, because the system is so corrupt. Yeah.
It is corrupt and there has to be a revolution to overthrow it. The process you want people to engage in is the overthrowing of these institutions, not the craven crawling to them and begging for, you know, some kind of a proclamation from the U.S. Supreme Court. What do you think they're going to say?
Well, just like when you protest and you seek a redress, so you're asking, you know, you demand. And,
exactly.
You know, that's what happened. That's going to have to be the posture of the people moving forward to get their rights back. And it's like you don't ask. It's like when they said the New York Times asked election officials if there's election fraud. Well, why are you asking the very people who would have committed the fraud? Of course, they're going to say there's no fraud. Yeah, we didn't do our job. We're incompetent. We're crooked. You caught us. You know.
Yeah, I hope the Q theorists will, you know, and the people that have been in that movement will realize that trying to, you know, hope that some kind of a white hat group can come out of this organization and right democracy is just it's a fantasy that was created as a cul-de-sac for them to be distracted from the real problem with. We need to rebel. I mean, that's the truth. These institutions are corrupt. They are fake. They're designed to kill us. They're what we have to overthrow. So forget when I'm just hoping that if and it's a very possible scenario that Trump does nothing. The European is left in amazement and confused and bewildered. Nothing seems to be available to us. Here comes Operation Warp Speed and, you know, hunger. And so in order to survive, we take the vaccine and we just disappear into, you know, the universe. So that is, kind of a scenario that the Q theorists can see, I think, clearly, if Trump doesn't act. If Trump acts, it's going to create a really confused situation for the independent media. Maybe we should talk about that someday, you know, soon, because it is going to be a very, very tough, you know, just to keep your intellectual bearings. You can imagine what it'll be like if Trump heroically declares martial law, Antifa riots, U.S. soldiers and, civilian militias are heroically defending themselves. It's a civil war, but how do we come out of that process with our rights, with a, you know, a functioning world that we have some control over? So if that does happen, if that is a scenario, the independent media is going to have to get really nimble trying to keep the information revolution moving forward under conditions that are going to be, you know, very distracting, very confusing for a lot of people who you know, could help with the revolution if they were clear-minded.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully a reaction to this vaccine people can coalesce around that. And
that's a cleaner issue.
Because you it's know, so obviously nonsensical and reckless. People are really, like, raising an eyebrow, like, you want us to do what? You know, there's like attitude, you know, and their explanation for it just doesn't hold even to the lay person, even to the person who just isn't into these issues. It's like it's come across as just rather bizarre and just unjustified. And it's so ham-fisted with saying, well, if you take the vaccine, maybe you can get back to normal. It's like, first of all, you're not in a position to do that, really. What power do you have? So you know, that is a problem. Now, it's rather presumptuous on your part, Dr. Fauci. But, you know, what's abnormal is the lockdown. You know,
yeah, that's what causes the trouble, not the disease.
Yeah.
So it's just, we've been mind control into a debased intellectual situation. We can't think straight. And, you know, we were praying that the vaccine would get us back to normal. But of course, they've already announced that, you know, well, no, actually, you have to wear masks, you're going to have to social distance, yes. You know, and they'll just, it's just more incremental.
And then don't see your family at Christmas time, not this year.
Yeah, this vaccine wasn't as effective. We couldn't quite get herd immunity, so we're going to need to extend the lockdowns for another year. Look, how long do the lockdowns have to go before they've destroyed every business, Tim? I mean, another 6 months, another year, what do we have left? You know, there won't be any. They will have succeeded in taking away the right to own a business from the citizen.
Yeah.
For one thing. And then think of the health consequences. So,
well, the biggest driver of disease is poverty.
Yeah.
It's not the organism, not the, idea you could declare war on microorganisms and keep everything clean. No, that's ridiculous. You worry about that. They've created a bunch of, obsessive compulsive disorder patients out there. With this nonsense.
I think it would be great if we could catch them. I'm not really positive that the first vaccine they bring out is going to be a killer, but we need to monitor it and to really see if we can get some data on it quickly. It will be tough to do. I don't know if you read the handling specifications of the new Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine.
It was like minus 70 degrees or something? Or?
Minus 60.
60.
Well, actually, no, it's minus 112 Fahrenheit. So it's a little tough for the average guy you need what they call a ultra low temperature freezer. So look, this is ludicrous. What they're doing is, the only people that can handle this are going to be the military people. Operation Warp Speed is going to be a military operation. They're the ones, when you start getting this out to the masses, they'll be bringing this thing out. They will have an ultra low temperature freezer, and only they. No one else will have one.
Well,
it's going to be very difficult to get our hands on it, because what they're saying is that you keep it in your ultra low temperature freezer, and then you thaw it out immediately. And use it at once. So, you know, you thaw it out to room temperature, it's only for immediate use. It only lasts for like 30 minutes, and then it's no good and got to be thrown away. So,
now, is that an attempt to just to prevent it from getting out so people can't study it, or is that because of its odd nature where it's a gene editing?
Well, it just be, even if, I'm not sure. I don't know, and I don't, but I mean, I would. I suspect malevolence. I mean, when you read about it, you need to maintain it at 112 degrees Fahrenheit below zero.
Yeah.
And then it says thawed under refrigeration, thaw and then store undiluted vials in the refrigerator for up to 5 days, 120 hours. So that's its lifespan. You have to for immediate use, thaw undiluted vials at room temperature for 30 minutes. Thawed vials can be handled in room-like conditions. Vials must reach room temperature before dilution. And this is the key point, undiluted vials may be stored at room temperature for no more than 2 hours. So isn't this amazing? You have to have an ultra-low temperature freezer, and then the vials must be at room temperature no more than 2 hours. So as I look at it, it seems very suspicious. I mean, you know, this obviously is way beyond my scientific pay grade, but it doesn't smell right to me. It says that any vaccine must be discarded after 6 hours. Do not refreeze. So this looks to me like an amazingly, you know, fragile thing that's going to require very special handling. The public will, I mean, under these conditions, Tim, how easy is it going to be to get a vial just for, you know, say you're a research person, you like to, you know, have one and do some studies of it. You'll never be able to get your hands on it.
Yeah.
We're going to have to steal them. Since the military have them, and I imagine they'll be the one bringing them out, I'm just hoping there'll be some patriotic soldiers that realize that this is something that the public needs to know about and will, you know, bring some dried ice with them to work and get one of these vials out to a lab where you can actually break the thing down. People need to know what's inside this thing, Tim, because look, they did not do any long-term animal trials. The animal trials that are going to take place are in what's called the human race.
Yeah, we're the trials, yeah.
Yeah, we are the animal trial. Yeah. So we've got to find out what's inside this
apparently,
thing. Not just this one, but every iteration. I mean, look, no one should be taking the vaccines under any circumstances, but we just need the information so we can get it out to the public to warn people if there is something really vicious inside of the thing.
And apparently the only immunity it offers is the immunity from lawsuits given to the pharmaceutical company that developed it.
Yeah.
What does that tell you? And then, it goes back to why would I hazard or risk taking a drug that might cause long-term neurological disorder, infertility?
Well, I mean the list of like possible side effects of this thing is like you know ages long. I mean, it's everything. There's nothing. Death and everything else are possible.
But we're saying why risk all that for a disease that has a 99.97 recovery rate across the board? It's virtually zero for people under 30. Well over 90% of people that are exposed to the virus supposedly are asymptomatic or mild. You know, it's insane.
I mean, that's like asking why only the states that were going to have Biden come from behind in an amazing fashion stop counting the votes at midnight.
Yeah.
I mean, why did Building 7 collapse symmetrically and at free fall speed? I mean, the answer is kind of self-evident if you're of clear mind. Otherwise, forget it. You're never going to see it. You know, I mean, that's there's no reason at all to take a vaccine for an illness that that doesn't change the mortality rate of the population. Without that, what is the why would you ever take a vaccine if that wasn't the case? You
know? Well, why isn't there like a warp speed operation to radically change the diet of the typical American? Education and get away from fast food, junk food, soda. it wouldn't have to be an authoritarian approach, but I always said, you said if they instead of locking down all the businesses, they just shut down all the fast food restaurants in the country, it would have been less of an imposition and saved more lives.
If you wanted to like get rid of like twice the damage that COVID under its worst fantasy case, all you have to do is just outlaw Diet Coke.
Yes.
That's it. The population, the health would just so look.
I know people's reactions. Well, people have the choice to eat that stuff, and if you enjoy it and you get sick from it, then that's the consequences, and that's freedom. Okay, I understand the argument, but the same thing applies to the stupid virus then.
Yeah.
Right. If I want to risk it, go out. So none of this nonsense. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, it is ridiculous, but it's really just a very precisely designed strategy against us. It's a strategy to enslave and kill us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the responsibility to get out of our comfort zones, get the megaphones, and just tell people the truth every chance we can get coherently. The guy that I saw at Walmart, he was pretty good. He knew his stuff. He was calm. He wasn't ranting. But of course, being the first, imagine if this became a fad. Imagine if every time you went into Walmart, someone would stand up at a corner and just start talking about the truth of our world. This would embolden more people. This is what we need to do. We've got to get the people who know the truth have the responsibility.
Well, yeah, what you could do is organize some people. I don't know how many it would take, maybe a few dozen, but they could go in shifts. Like one person starts doing it, then the moment they relieve that one person, another person comes and starts doing it again.
That's what you should do. If you have 20 people, you should just have a constant stream of truth coming to the Walmart shoppers. There should be like a blue light special for the reality that comes on every 30 minutes.
So, okay, Joe.
Tim, it's been great talking to you. I mean, it's just another amazing week. I didn't use the word bizarre as often as I wanted to, but I have a feeling that it's going to be a bizarre week coming up and a bizarre month ahead. So, you know, everyone just be safe. Try to, you know, watch your health and your future with food and self-defense techniques.
Okay, Joe.
All right, brother.
Enjoy your weekend. Bye-bye. Thank you.